The goodness of God is tangible in this place this morning. If it were possible, we could overdose on encouragement this morning, but that's not possible. The word of the Lord speaks to us today and reveals some of the secrets God has been keeping for us. Not all of them, but some of them. I'm going to begin with John's Gospel in the 21st chapter and verse 1 that says, "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples." After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples. Now, life is wonderful. I enjoy every day. But all of us face challenges, and enemies, and weapons formed against us, mountains, valleys, wilderness. You can call it what you want. Problems that come with life here on earth. And the disciples had gone through a season that had worn them out. Have you ever been in a place in your life to where you went through so many things that weighed you down and challenged you and discouraged you and robbed you of joy and peace and even the wonder that you wouldn't make it through? These things happen in life. In a large crowd like we are this morning, there are no doubt people here today who are going through what will become part of their testimony, these things I just had to go through. But after these things, Jesus showed himself again to his disciples. If each of us were to write a book, our own life story, then every one of us would have to include at least one chapter in our autobiography, the chapter titled, "After These Things." Some of you right now facing issues in your marriage, you just don't know if you're going to make it or not. Some days you wonder if it's even worth trying anymore. Or another relationship with a child or a sibling or a parent or a friend. Some of you may be struggling in business, not even sure if you're going to make enough money to make payroll the end of next week. Some of you are in limbo in some area of your life, and you're just unsure right now what the future of your life may look like. Some of you have been given a report by a doctor you've never heard before, shaking you to your core. Some of you are waiting on a court date, and your fate and your future will be determined by one man or woman or a jury of your peers. Some of you have even wondered if life as you know it is not over and it will never be good again. All because of these things that are common to all of us earthlings while we walk this natural journey. But the good news is today that after these things, Jesus shows himself again to all of his followers. God is already working on the next season while you're still going through these things. Now, in the scripture we've just read, and in that entire chapter, John 21, the Apostle Peter is the central character. He's representative of a larger group of the disciples, but he was the leader, he was the spokesman. And Peter had been a professional businessman in his younger life. He was a fisherman by trade. It wasn't his hobby, it was his vocation. He did it for a living. And 3 years before this verse, Jesus came to him and called him to leave his fishing business and follow Christ. And Peter was obedient to that. He gave up his life, his business, and he became a disciple and followed Jesus for 3+ years of his ministry. But when this verse was written, after these things, Peter had been through, just in the past week, every emotional high and low you could imagine. Even in just the last week, sometimes 1 week will zap you. The events, like a roller coaster, compressed together in just a few days of your life. And Peter had seen the victory, the triumphant parade all of the city of Jerusalem had given Jesus on Palm Sunday. That had just happened a few days earlier. And there was victory in the land on that day. And then how quickly Peter also saw just a few days later them whip Jesus and beat him to a bloody pulp. And Peter watched as they nailed him to the cross where he would be crucified. And then, after that, the jubilation of the news of the resurrection, and Peter knew as well as anybody what those three words, after these things, would mean. And so we find him in John 21. You can read the chapter later, but Peter's just, he's just worn out from these things. And he says, I'm going home. I'm going back to my fishing business. So he and the disciples walked away and did not follow Jesus closely like they had been, but went back to that which was familiar and that which was comfortable to them. When you've been through so many of these things, the temptation is to create a little distance between you and the Lord, to take a step back and get a different look at the way things might be. The temptation is to go back to the comfortable and the familiar, your old way of life. That's what Peter and the disciples were doing. He returned to his old life, the one he knew before he met Jesus. And when he did, he was faced with more of these things. An immediate disappointment. He went fishing, cranked up his fishing business again, and went out in the sea and began to fish hard and caught nothing all night. He and those who were with him worked hard all night and were disappointed. It was an utter defeat. It was dark, the Bible says. In verse 3, it says it was dark. They had fished way into the night. There was no light. He was walking in darkness and working in darkness. There was no light that helped him. He was leaning on his own understanding. You know how it feels to where, well, God's not working fast enough on this or not working it out like I thought he should by now, so I'm going to help God out. And we start leaning on our unlimited natural understanding. That's what Peter had done after these things. And his fishing relaunch of his business was an utter failure. But the good news to those of us who are going through so many of these things is Jesus shows himself again after these things. The phrase after these things is found in the Bible 24 times. A lot of people know what life is like when we go through these things. One that I will use as a model, just one of the 24, is found in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." So when you've been through life and you've been beaten up and bruised by these things, we have the hope from God's word that after these things, Jesus shows himself again. And here to Abram, after these things, the word of the Lord came to him. So when you're walking through these things and you're unsure about your future and perhaps even your next step, get a fresh word from God. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram. Can I just tell you, and you know my story, I've shared my story with you many times. You have your own stories of God's faithfulness and the times His word has come to you and made a difference. I just want to say to you, get a fresh word from God, because what a difference a word makes. A word from God. There have been times in our home when we didn't know what to do. We had a decision to make and didn't know whether to go left or right. We thought we had prayed all we could, and God was being silent for some reason. Confusion would try to come into our house, and that's never a good thing, and it doesn't survive at our house very long. Neither should it in yours, because God's not in it at all. But one word came to us that cleared away all the confusion, and we immediately, on a dime, went from sulking and moping and to jumping with joy and peace and excitement about what God had for us next. What a difference a word from God makes. So don't live a day without a word from God. There have been a few words in my life that stand out. They were directional. They were life-altering. You know what that's like. He loves you just as much as He loves me. He speaks to you just as much as He speaks to me, and more if you let Him. I told you that we were required to move from South Carolina to California in our young marriage, and we didn't want to do it. We didn't know about it. We were unsure, uncertain. We were happy as a hog in 40 acres of slop right where we were, and did not want to upset our wonderful life. But we had no choice. Either quit our job or do what was required. God spoke to us and said, if you will move to California and give me 1 year of your life there, I will show you my perfect will for the rest of your life. Now, when you hear a word from God, you will be able to quote it verbatim for the rest of your life. So, all confusion lifted. We got excited about packing boxes because of a word. What a difference one word makes. Then, after we had moved to California and the end of the year had come, and we knew a season of life was ending for us, but we didn't know where the new season was, another word came to us. We were seeking God. Now, if you seek, you'll find. If you don't hear a word, you're not open enough. God speaks clearly. He's the great communicator. And He's not made it a labyrinth where it's hard to get from where you are to where the word is. He brings the word to you. He serves it up. He's easily heard. We were waiting for God to speak and needed some hope because we couldn't hear anything for a season, and we were beginning to get frustrated, and my wife was reading her Bible in the book of Ezekiel, the Living Bible, one night, and she said to me, oh, darling, and she does call me darling. If she ever calls me Carl, there's a problem. And it's Carl. She said, darling, I have got a word for you. We were seeking the will. God had promised us He'd show us His perfect will for the rest of our life, and time's about up. And she said, here it is in the book of Ezekiel. And she read it to me. And the word of the Lord said, one day, late in June, When I was 30 years old, suddenly the heavens were opened unto me and I saw visions from God. And when that word came to me, it was at the end of our year. God was due to come through with his promise and show us his perfect will for the rest of our lives. And I was 29 years and 11 months old, and I was about to turn 30 late June, which was almost here. It was a right now, in-season word. What a difference a word makes. So when you go through these things in life, remember that after these things, Jesus shows himself again. And like he did to Abram, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram. So get a fresh word from God. There's only one reason we live without a word from God, even for one day in our life. And it's because we're willing to live without it. It's our daily bread. Don't go a day without being fed your daily bread. Now, in Peter's case, in John 21, the word of the Lord came to him and gave him an instruction. If you read the chapter that followed, Jesus appeared on the scene. He was at a distance. They had stepped back. They didn't even recognize him. They were on the sea and he was on the shore. There had been some distance that separated them temporarily. And Jesus cried out, "Have you caught anything?" And Peter said, "No." And he said, "Cast your net on the right side and you'll catch them." So they did, and you'll see that a miracle followed. Sometimes when you're going through these things and the word of the Lord comes to you, you get a fresh word. There'll be an instruction with it, as it was to Peter and the disciples when Jesus spoke to them that morning before sunrise. They cast their net on the right side, obeying his instruction, and there was such a great catch of fish that the disciples could not drag the net. They had to call for help. Talk about going from bankrupt to Fortune 500 status immediately. Nothing in the net until now. It's so filled, they couldn't even drag it on board without some help. And the first instruction God gave to Abram, listen how important this is. It's getting better quick here. I'm not going to hang out here and do this all day. When God spoke to Abram, says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, 'Do not be afraid.'" There's a reason he said that first. The first instruction God gave was, "Fear not." Now, fear not comes to each of us during these things. Oh, the temptation to fear that you will die and not live. The temptation to fear that the best days of your life are over, that you're facing an unknown future, and surely it will never be good again like it has been. The temptation to fear that the worst possible case scenario is what's going to happen, not the best. The temptation to fear all of the unknown. And it's a command. Fear not. That was a command. Do we think it's important to adhere to the command of the Lord? It wasn't a suggestion. "Abram, I hope you won't be afraid now, son." No. It was clear and it was commanding. Do not be afraid. The first and greatest enemy to conquer when you're going through these things is fear. And our reasons to fear are all irrelevant when God is with us. Because the verse goes on, "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, 'Do not be afraid, I am your shield, your exceeding great reward.'" So there's no need to be afraid. Just listen. Exodus 14, 13, Moses answered, "Don't be afraid. Stand your ground and you will see what the Lord will do to save you today. You will never see this enemy again." Deuteronomy 31, 6, "Be determined and confident. Do not be afraid of the enemy. Your God, the Lord himself, will be with you. He will not fail you or abandon you." 1 Chronicles 28, 20, David also said to his son Solomon, "Be strong and brave and finish this work. Do not be afraid, because the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will help you until the work is finished. He will not leave you. You will build the Lord's temple." Isaiah 41, 10, "Don't worry, I am with you. Don't be afraid, I am your God. I will make you strong, I will help you, I will support you with my right hand that brings victory." Daniel 10, 12, "Then the man in the vision," which was an angel, "started talking again, and he said, 'Daniel, do not be afraid. From the very first day you decided to get wisdom and be humble in front of God, he's been listening to your prayers. I came to you because you have been praying. Do not be afraid.'" The first and the greatest enemy, always, when you're going through these things, there was a bumper sticker. Forrest Gump created it. It happens. These things, they just come with life. First enemy to conquer is fear. Don't be afraid of these things or what comes after these things. What's on God's mind is something to give you hope and a future, not something to hurt you or to destroy you. That's what God is thinking about you right now. And then he said to Abraham, the word of the Lord came to Abraham and said, "Don't be afraid. I am with you. I'll be your shield. I'll be your protector, and I'll defend you from enemies," is what that means. There's a verse of scripture that we all love, especially when you're going through these things. And it's almost like you can get up in the morning and you can see weapons that are aimed at you. Anybody ever had a day like that? And the verse we like to use is that verse that says, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper." What it really means is this: God never said the weapons wouldn't form. He said they wouldn't prosper. You can't deny the formation of the enemy. Sometimes they're visible and obvious. Oh, they have formed against you. God never denied that they wouldn't. But he did say they wouldn't prosper. Let's take that promise to the bank while we're going through these things. Deuteronomy 33, 29. "Israel, you are blessed. No other nation is like you. The Lord saved you. He is like a strong shield protecting you. He's like a powerful sword. Your enemies will be afraid of you, and you will put your foot on their backs." Psalm 5, 12. "Lord, when you bless your people, you surround them with your love like a large shield that protects them." Psalm 18, 2. "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my place of safety. He is my God, the rock I run to for protection. He is my shield. By his power I am saved. He is my hiding place in the hills." Psalm 91, 4, "You can go to him for protection. He will cover you like a bird spreading its wings over its babies. You can trust him to surround and protect you like a shield." Psalm 119, 114, "Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word." There's hope after these things. It's not a hopeless thing. If you'll read all 24 phrases and verses that come with the phrase "after these things," you'll find them scattered through Scripture, including these. John 3, 22, "After these things, Jesus came." John 6, 1, "After these things, Jesus went." We see Jesus coming and going. He's moving on, moving forward with life, even after these things, and so will we. After these things, we will continue coming and going. We will be blessed coming in, and we will be blessed going out after these things. Revelation 7:1, after these things I saw. Revelation 19:1, after these things I heard. So after all of these things become former things, God still has so much more to say that we will hear, and so much more to show us that we will see. After these things I heard, after these things I saw. Now, 8 times in Scripture, the phrase, after these things, is accompanied with these words. 8 times, it came to pass. After these things, it came to pass. After these things, it came to pass. After these things, it came to pass. That phrase, it came to pass, is processive. It is not an instant thing. Some of us, while we're going through these things, we would greatly appreciate it. God, if you'll do me an instant miracle right here. Instantly. And God can, and He has. But the word suddenly, we all like suddenlies. Lord, do it suddenly. And He can do it, and He has. But the word suddenly is only used in the Bible 41 times. The phrase, it came to pass, is used in the Bible 451 times. That says to me whether it's a suddenly or whether it comes to pass over time. Either way, God delivers what we need. And it's up to Him as to whether it's a suddenly or whether it's a gradual process, but He does the gradual 10 times more often than He does the immediate. He seems to be more interested in our maturity over the long term than He is interested in our immediate deliverance. He knows what He's doing. Suddenly, only 40 times, it came to pass over 450 times. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 15 and 16 tells us a little bit about the nature of God. God led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of a flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that He might humble you and that He might test you to do you good in the end. Well, the Lord will let you rub up against serpents and scorpions and drag you around through what He called a great and terrible wilderness. But all the while, what's on His mind is to do you good in the end. Some things we just have to come through. And we dare not stop in the middle of it. We keep going until we're through it. And then we find when we get through it, what was on God's mind all along is to do us good in the end. He said to Abram, when the word of the Lord came to Abram, said, do not be afraid, I will be with you, I am your shield, and your reward will be very great. That's part of the promise. That's what we can expect after these things is a great reward. We will be compensated for getting through it. Don't stop in the middle. Somebody said, and we should put it on the marquee, it's all right. If you're going through hell, don't stop. Why? Because your reward will be very great. You're going to be compensated for every problem you've had to deal with. There's a benefit that comes from having done all to stand. Just keep standing. Ruth chapter 2 verse 12. May the Lord reward you for what you've done. May you have a full reward from the Lord God of Israel. to whom you have come for protection. Psalm 16:5, the Lord, you will give me all that I need. You support me. You give me my share. Psalm 16:6, my share is wonderful. My inheritance is very beautiful. Hebrews 13:5, keep your lives free from the love of money and be satisfied with what you have, because God said, I will never leave you. I will never run away from you. Hebrews 13:6, so we can feel sure and safe. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. People can do nothing to me. So that's good news. If you're going through these things, any of these things, and aren't we all to some degree, there's hope. God's already planning our next step. We don't even know where to put a foot down yet. He's already got a foundation laid for us. Our next step will be firm and steady because he is the foundation and he's prepared the way for us. I'm going to call the praise team to come back up and just close with one song. As you singers and musicians, and by the way, don't we have just among the best in the world? Don't you just love our praise and worship band? Come on up to the stage, fellas. I want to close with a sneak peek into what God is really doing right now while you're going through these things. And you're waiting for the day when you will have your testimony intact. You'll be able to say after these things. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'll close with these two verses. 1 Corinthians 2, beginning at verse 9. That is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. But, now we've just been told you can't see it with your eye, you've never heard it with your ear, you can't even imagine it in your mind. But, it was revealed to us. God revealed these things by his Spirit. His Spirit that searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. Let me tell you, expect God to be revealing secret after secret. Now I know, I don't want to scare you. If we were living in the Old Testament, we'd never have a chance for a secret to be revealed. Isaiah said these words. Isaiah, the Old Testament great prophet, said, your eye has never seen, your ear has never heard. It could never enter into your mind, into your heart, what God's got planned for you. And Isaiah stopped there. It was the Old Testament. But after Jesus introduced the New Testament, then Paul in Corinthians quoted Isaiah, oh, your eye's never seen, your ear's never heard, you've never even imagined all God's got for you. And then in the New Testament, Paul added, but that's the way it used to be, he said. I couldn't see, ear couldn't hear. You'd never be able to even grasp it in your mind. But in this new covenant, God has revealed it to us by his Spirit, because his Spirit searches out every area of our life and reveals secrets from God to us. Oh, there's so much more after these things. Oh, let's look forward to life after these things. It's not over. It's going to get better in Jesus' name. Would you stand? Everybody stand. Let's worship the Lord before we leave.